Good evening, America. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am your host tonight, Mark Levine, with
Derek D. Kester.
And oh, wait a minute. That's his. Derek D. Kester.
And Garland Nixon.
There you go. I'm with the two of y'all tonight. And we are just.
I got mixed up as who I was there for a second.
Garland's a little lost because we're not at Ben's tonight. We're in studio. So if you are at Ben's,
I need a half smoke.
Turn on your radio, 89.3 FM. You can still hear us. And we will be there next week, of course, at Ben's, right next door to Ben's Chili Bowl at 1213 U Street. So come early, come often. Right. We'll be there next week. And welcome to.
Can we get a delivery of half smokes?
I don't know. Welcome to what I expect will be a very controversial show.
Good.
Tonight,
as opposed to all of our other shows, right?
As opposed to all of our others, which were piece of cake, you know, not barely raucous at all.
We could do a show on pepperoni pizza. It would probably be.
I disagree.
Somewhat.
Now,
yeah, right.
Make it with
that's
mushrooms.
Offensive to Jews and Muslims. It's pork. Never mind.
There we go. Right.
Tonight, we're going to discuss the N-word. The F word, racial, religious, and homophobic epithets. We're going to attempt to do the impossible. Discuss hate and offensiveness in the most honest, loving, and respectful way we possibly can.
But we've never discussed anything
honest
like that. Honest, respectful.
You heard me. Honest, loving,
I'm
and respectful.
I'm out of here, buddy. I must be in the wrong studio.
I expect honesty, love, and respect. Now.
We'll try.
This is a topic that is almost certainly destined to bruise some feelings, okay? Yet it is my firm belief that the Raucous Caucus should not shy away from controversial topics.
Nah.
We should be able to discuss in public what most people only
this
whisper.
This is in public?
In public.
Oh, no.
What
I
most
didn't
know people
that.
Only whisper in private. And
I
before
love you.
We get to.
Oh.
I am so not going there. Before we
this
get.
This thing's getting ugly.
Before we get to. It hasn't even started yet.
Getting
it's
ugly?
Getting ugly.
Oh, really?
Before we get to our topic tonight, it is a pledge drive tonight. And if you like the Raucous Caucus, if you like our ability to discuss controversial topics and do so, hopefully, in a gregarious and humorous fashion, you should pledge and support the Raucous Caucus. We, of course, are every Tuesday, except for tonight, at Ben's. And we go out to the public. We do something that really, I think, is pretty unique here at WPFW. Serious topics in a humorous vein.
We have fun.
Unique everywhere. Nobody does that anymore.
Well, I don't think anybody does
that. Yeah, nobody's
doing that.
Most people
are either like, everybody's dying, and then they're very serious.
No, and we also.
Or they're just kind of the, you know, laugh, ha, ha, Howard Stern kind of
right.
Yeah.
BS
and
that doesn't teach anybody anything.
What other show do you know of where the host actually switch names and races back and
right.
forth?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Garland Nixon tonight.
And I'm
he's Terry
D. Kester.
I mean,
which stands for the Doctor of Democracy, I might add.
Where else can you find this?
Moving on, the pledge line is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. If you are outside the local area, you can call toll-free 800-222-9739. For $35, you are, of course, a WPFW member, and you get to vote and all that, which is very important. It control the direction of WPFW. For $50, you get a WPFW t-shirt or cup. And for $65,
pre-worn by Terry D. Kester.
This is the real prize. You get a 3D set of the best, the most raucous.
The most raucous.
Of the Raucous Caucus.
The raucous of the Raucous Caucus.
We have Garland Nixon featuring the Tea Party Racists. Mm-hmm. We have Terry D. Kester featuring the Wall Street Waltz. Mm-hmm. And yours truly, Mark Levine, featuring Don't Drive While Latino. And you can get your 3-CD set for a pledge of only $65. We really need you to pledge in tonight and support the Raucous Caucus, and you can do so in the breaks or now, but also definitely in the breaks. We're going to have a good 5-minute break at the half and at the end to let you pledge. Now,
and let me throw this in, and it's important that you, that what Mark said, that you support the Raucous Caucus. We know we have a lot of listeners and a lot of people that love this show, but we really need people to support us to show how much they love the show, and, you know, let's face it, help keep us on the air here.
Absolutely.
And, so if you,
know,
you like this show.
I get stopped all the time. People who tell me how much they love the Raucous Caucus, and like, now's your chance to show us a little love. We give you that.
Right. Show us a little love.
Show us a little love back.
And it's also got to be, though, I got to stress, too, it's a supporting WPFW.
Yeah. That's true.
WPFW is a unique threat, frankly, to just about every other media there is.
Because we're not corporate-owned and not corporate-sponsored.
That's right. And we need your
and
community support.
We actually talk against corporations on this program.
Oh, spit on corporations. Oh, pooey.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. I mean,
that's why we can talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
We even use the 7 bad words.
Show us some love, and now I'm going to talk about hate.
There we go.
A few weeks ago, There were a number of Tea Party protesters, you may recall, that spit on members of Congress and screamed out the N-word at three African members of Congress, including legendary civil rights hero and my own personal hero, Congressman John Lewis. Who is not just a civil rights leader and a great congressman, but a class act. I don't know if any of you ever had the pleasure of meeting Congressman Lewis. He's just, for such a great man, he's a very modest man. I have a lot of respect for him. Anyway, they shouted the N-word at him, which just makes me cringe. They also shouted the F-word at Congressman Barney Frank. And that got me to thinking, not only about how these words remain offensive and despicable, but also about even when you discuss these words, it's fraught with complications. Now, to be clear, just so we know what N-word and what F-word we're talking about, the N-word is a six-letter racial epithet with two G's in the middle. The F-word is a six-letter...
Caster. Two G's in the middle. My mistake.
Can't even spell!
The F-word is a six-letter homophobic epithet, also with two G's in the middle. Now, what is it about two G's in the middle that leads to hatred? We don't know.
It's something about Republicans, Republicans. And G-straps and things like that. You know, all tied together.
I think
together
it's G-strings, Terry, yeah. But we, again...
Oh, strings, that's right. That, that's right. It's been
that,
so long since I've gotten out.
Save that for another day.
Now, hello, Jan, how are you?
You may ask yourself why I don't just say these two words. And that's actually part of our topic this evening. Because the short answer is, I'm afraid to.
You're right.
In fact, if any of us says either of those two words on the air, we may just be breaking the law. The Federal Communications Commission considers, quote, profane, unquote, any language so grossly offensive to members of the public who actually hear it as to amount to a nuisance, unquote. And even though context can save you, I don't feel comfortable saying these words on air, even as I condemn them, even though we have an entire show about them.
And in that context, we have to be sure not to discuss penis, too, because that becomes a big problem in profanity.
Well, that's only offensive to some people.
Yes, well, I'm sorry.
Republican. Didn't say that word, buddy.
And so, well, that's offensive to many more people, Republicans. And so,
do they have those?
To protect us, to protect WPFW tonight, I'm going to ask everyone, you, Terry, and you, Garland, and everyone who calls in, and we hope we will get a lot of calls.
I thought I was Garland.
Don't say the actual words. Use euphemisms, including, if you wish, these euphemisms we've grown accustomed to, the N-word and the F-word. Right. If you hate the euphemisms, tell us why you hate the euphemisms, but still don't say the words on air. Okay. Here's what I want to explore tonight. I want to explore the power behind these words. Why these epithets still evoke such power, such offense, and sometimes even violence. Who has a right to say these words? What makes them still offensive today? And what do you have a right to do when the words are said to you in anger? Is it okay, and this is something that's really heart of the question tonight, is it okay for people in the groups to say the words? I think clearly it's more okay, but is it okay at all? Some black people, some gay people believe that saying these words amongst themselves lessens their sting. Number of African-American comics, number of gay comics in groups. But others, like the NAACP, believe it's time to give these words a proper burial. If you want to call in, the phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And don't forget, pledge number 202-588-9739. Garland, what do you think? Do these words deserve a proper burial? Should even blacks not use the N-word?
Okay. First of all, what are we talking about when we talk about the N-word? Think of a word, sail and sail, S-A-I-L, to sail the verb, or a sail, like I will hoist my sail. Same word, spelled word, but it two different meanings, correct? The N-word, as it were, has different meanings depending upon who uses it. If it's used by someone who's not a member of the race, not African-American, the meaning taken by African Americans is less than human. Remember, where'd the word come from? It was invented by the slave owners. That's what they referred to slaves as strictly, and it meant less than human. Okay, but when used within the African American community, it's somewhat similar to, can be somewhat similar to comrade. Something like that. Friend, buddy, pal,
so
whatever.
You don't think it has any offensiveness even when used within the African-American community?
Remember, it's a different word.
Well, okay, but
so
no,
we're
not
looking
at, all?
At two different words.
You don't think blacks use it in an offensive way towards other blacks?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, ma'am, no, absolutely not. It's a totally different word.
Well, let me
word.
Ask you this, Carl, about the history of the word.
Okay.
It's my impression, I could be dead wrong, so feel free to correct me, that the use of that word within and among blacks is really something that's, I won't say recent, but let's say last 30, 40 years. I think of Richard Pryor.
Absolutely
or I think of
not.
Chris Rock. So it's been going on for
100 years. Let me tell you,
years.
Okay, let me fill you this in, and then I'll give Terry some time. Where to come from. There is a book that I would commend to our listeners. There's a series of books called When I Was a Slave. And what they do, what happened was during the early 1900s, they actually interviewed slaves. And they wrote down basically the interviews, word for word. And so they did books about the interviews. One book will see life on the plantation. Another book is life as a young teenager as a slave. And these are interviews with slaves about slaves. What you will find in common is, and throughout all these books, is the only word that these slaves used to refer to themselves and other African Americans was the N-word. The only word.
Okay.
They
well,
didn't know another
word. Before I
get to
Terry, Garla, one more question on this. Do you think, though, that the slaves, by using this N-word, aren't they in fact aping their masters and in a sense putting themselves down the way their masters used to put
yes,
them down?
Now, that's the other thing I could make, because to me the discussion on the use within the black culture is a discussion that should be made mostly within the black culture, but and the argument...
we're not afraid to discuss it here on WPFW.
No, no, not discussion, but brave. What should go with it. But what I'd say is this, that the argument could be made that it's somewhat of an acceptance of an inferiority complex.
I think the argument
and
could
I'll
be
move
made.
To Terry.
All right. Go ahead, Terry.
I'm going to be a
speaking
little...
Speaking of people with inferiority complex, but his is valid.
Yeah, but I have no reason. Yeah, no, I have no reason whatsoever. You know. Anyway, I'm going to be a bit philosophical about it and a bit maybe even somewhat theological about
so
it.
So much unlike you, Terry.
Well, maybe. But, yeah. Words... cliche, words mean something. The most profound statement that I have ever read, I think philosophically, and it could be theologically if you want, is in the beginning was the word. And I mention that only because of the importance of words and the importance of language, because once a word is spoken, that means an idea is manifest. And once that idea is manifest, action follows. All action begins with words, with ideas. That's where it starts. I think, and again, to be philosophical and somewhat theological, it is often mentioned in scriptures that, you know, the most dangerous weapon we have is the tongue. And no, it's not for French kissing, is the tongue. And how we use it.
You got
it.
No laughs on that
I
line,
know.
Terry. You got zero laughs on a very
nothing.
Serious
hey,
topic.
I'm being serious here, yeah.
Okay. No wonder he has that inferiority complex.
Yeah, right. I said it's valid.
Go ahead, Terry.
You know, the use of the tongue and the use of language is incredibly important in any society. And one of the major reasons that you have something as vicious and as ugly as Jim Crowism is because of the language that was used. One of the reasons that you have such an ugly society today and such a confrontational society today is because of the use of language. And as long as we perpetuate that, even if it's within our own group, if we perpetuate that less than, least, not even close to dignified language, we are perpetuating anxiety, we are perpetuating conflict, we are perpetuating adversarial, we are perpetuating you know the political deadlock that we're in, all because of the use of language. And there's a real reason, you know, why we have to be civil.
Let me say this. I'm inclined to agree with I guess with Terry here and also with the NAACP and disagree with you, Garland. I respect your history. I don't dispute your history. I don't dispute your facts. I've got a different opinion, though.
Okay.
In my view, the N-word, the F-word, it's even when said with a grin among people within the same group with a smile, it's at the very, very least a dig. Now, I'm not disputing it's far, far worse.
Not in the African American community. It's simply not a dig.
I have black friends other than you, Garland.
Yeah,
and I got to tell you, I don't think that's always the case.
I've seen it used on the street aggressively.
And not only that, but when it's used within family, shall we say, within the same group of people, and then it gets to a wider audience with African American comics, with you can go to any comedy club, mm-hmm. and you see, and virtually every word out of a black comic's mouth is the N-word before an audience that's often black and white. And I don't know. It may be the point, and I get the point of saying that the more you say it, it lessens their sting. That it actually, well, not, it actually takes the sting out of the word. Well, see, that's the only reason I can see why to use it. Otherwise, I think black people put black people down. It's not just a word for white people to put black people down. I know this. I know in the gay community, they've tried to reclaim the word queer, which is an ugly word used to describe
traditionally,
gay people.
And
now there's there's some people, and they tend to be on the fringes, but they tend to embrace the word, to say, you know, we're going to call it good. And I'm like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Right. It doesn't work for me.
Right.
Because and also the F word used. And again, obviously, if gay people use that word amongst themselves, it's not the same as when a straight person uses it. Still, these are hateful words.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, maybe the only purpose of reclaiming them is to lessen their sting. I don't know that I agree that used just among people in the group that it still doesn't have some sting. I think that's sort of the purpose of the word. But I do want to get to some.
Can I give an example?
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's a different phrase, but it has the same power, and it's very important. It's to me, it's the least favorite phrase out there, and that is the MF word, or the two words. And
see, that one bothers me less.
That is the most...
Because I don't think it really refers to someone's mother.
It's not literal. That's the thing.
The other two are literal.
It doesn't matter because it is the most demeaning concept, the most demeaning phrase one can
possibly... It's a nasty phrase.
No, it's not nasty. It's demeaning. It's way beyond demeaning. It is also sexual. It is also... familial. It is everything possibly ugly that you could possibly say.
Yeah, but all these ugly words are ugly,
right.
Terry.
Yeah,
I know
how
but
British
we're going to be.
I think that when you focus on a group, it has consequence.
Does it?
Oh, of course it does. You can't deny the consequence of language.
Well, no, language is nasty, but...
Well, and that particular... Now, here's the other thing.
I mean, you've got a destruction of society. You've got a destruction of family. You've got 4 out of 10 women giving birth out of wedlock, primarily in the African...
I don't think it's about women in this
case. Don't think it's about women?
Well, here's the thing about that.
I don't.
That particular word. That particular word.
And then we got some callers.
Yeah, it's kind of metaphorical. That particular word...
Metaphorical.
Yeah, it's not... It's
when I hear that word, I don't think of someone's mother.
No, no, it's not literal. It's no, for instance, it's like saying that jerk. For instance,
on
the street.
I agree with Garland on this one. I agree with Garland on this one.
Yeah, listen to Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Listen to Richard
Pryor. He's not talking
about
someone's mother.
Listen to what he's
mother.
Saying. Now, it is.
Richard Pryor proves that point.
No, what I'm saying, yeah, if you listen to what he says,
no.
If it only works if you take it literal. But it's not intended
to be
literal.
And that's the difference between the N-word and the F-word. Those are meant literally, whereas I don't think MF is.
And remember, the difference in the N-word is this, as I said. In the N-word, you're looking at a situation where you have a race of people that had no other term to refer to themselves.
I'll tell you what you do.
You read When I Was a Slave. In fact, I'll bring some of the books in. And you read one, and you find me one where one of the slaves who was interviewed used it. They might have said darky 1/10 of 1%.
But they were taking the master's words.
Every single. So what I'm saying is this. So you take a group, which do you know how far we are? We're not very far from slavery, barely a generation, if that. Okay? I know someone who knew a slave right now, today. I know someone who knew someone who was a slave. So how far can we be from slavery? So you're saying, what I'm saying is this. These people in that generation had no other word that they knew to refer to blacks.
Okay, fair enough.
So what did they say to their child? You're going to say two generations down and that word's going
to
disappear?
I'd like it
so
to.
It wasn't.
Hold on, let me
so
give out I. the numbers. It's 202. If you want to call in, it's 202-588-0893. If you want to pledge and support the Raucous Caucus,
please do
and
that.
Our ability to discuss controversial topics, that is 202-588-9739 or 800.
And what are we giving away, Mark?
202-9739.
Giving membership. We are rewarding.
$50 T-shirt or cap.
Thanking.
$65, the best of the Raucous Caucus. All right, let's go to Terry on the lines. A different Terry.
Hi. Oh.
From the one in studio. Terry, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Thank you. And I am a different Terry. This is a female Terry.
We hear you. Talk to us.
What I would like to add
Great
to,
name.
What I would like to contribute to this discussion is this, is that when you talk about words to me can be a trigger. I mean, for example, if you're programmed to believe that shoestring is the word that will really set you off. I mean, this is when I'm going to go and I'm going to get my gun now, because you said shoestring.
Right.
Then that means that I have now been programmed to buy into the word shoestring. But, I mean, I do agree with what Garland is saying, in that when you, there are certain words that we as black people say, and when other people hear it, they think it means something different. For a long time, when we were saying bad, people thought bad meant bad. But for us, bad means good.
Right.
And so when you say, oh, that was a bad outfit, uh-huh. that means that was a good outfit this person has on. If this is a bad song, it means it is a good song. So,
but Terry, are you saying that the N-word among black people isn't offensive among black people?
Well, I'm saying that the feeling of what it, the feeling and the interpretation, it's just not the same.
Oh, I agree, it's not the same.
From the feeling area versus the, it's versus a logic, or versus like in theory.
Right,
in theory,
right.
This word is supposed to mean, you know, it's very evil, quote unquote. But when the African people, the enslaved people, were saying this word, this is the word that they were called. They didn't come here speaking this language.
I understand that, Terry,
they were not speaking this language. The N-word is a word that was visited upon them. Yeah,
fair enough, okay, Terry. Let's ask you this, because I agree with your history. You're absolutely right about the history, and God knows you can read Mark Twain and read a writer who's actually much more sympathetic to black people than most writers of his time, who also uses the N-word and doesn't use it in a negative way at all. But let me ask you this, Terry. In 2010... are you saying that when black people, and I'm not saying that it's not, it's far, far worse when non-black people use it, no question about it, but when black people use it amongst themselves, don't you think it still has a sting? And do you agree with the NAACP, who actually had a public burial for the word, or do you think this is all political correctness and we're going too far? What's your view, Terry?
What I would say is that it has to do with the intonation. It's like how you say it, the emphasis, you know, how you say it, if you put it on the I wish I could say the word so you can hear what I mean.
<Yeah. laughs>
On the first syllable or the last syllable? Is that what you're saying?
You know, but it's all of that. It's not just that easy and just that simple. There's a lot into it. It's a fabric of sorts. I mean, there's a lot there.
Can you use that word affectionately?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually think you can.
Yes,
did you see Denzel Washington? Mm-hmm. That what he, and he was referring to a white guy. What he keeps saying, my N-word, my N-word, my, and that's even more so than saying my buddy. That's even more so than saying my friend.
But
that's my
that make,
N-word.
But
that's
then,
like
but
my.
But then when
okay,
you
can I just throw
yeah,
one thing?
Go ahead. Sorry about that, Terry. I got a little carried away.
Yeah, can I throw one thing in? The last thing that I will say is that it's how you spell it, because if you say N-I-G-G-E-R, that's different than N-I-G-G-A-H.
Okay.
So
Second way is more friendly.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. My concern, though, is when people see these kinds of movies and all, that then some 16-year-old white kid sees the movie, calls his black friend my N-word, and suddenly he gets a punch in the face.
Right,
he's like, what did I do?
Right.
What did I do? I mean, that's the problem.
Well,
with
I will
these
say one thing about this
fraught.
Word. One thing about the N-word, and that is, but we'll get to right to the caller, and that is, the one good thing I'll say is that very appropriately, it is now viewed in our society overall the way it is. You know, you hear it from some teabagger racists, and everybody kind of recoils and says, hey, you know, that's unacceptable. In a way, it is where it ought to be in our society as a whole, because people look at that word and they say, hey, this is totally unacceptable. Because most people know that African-Americans receive the word from a non-African-American as, you are less than human, but they receive it from another African-American as a whole another story.
All you're talking about is cognitive dissonance, and cognitive dissonance can be very destructive, no matter what the word is. The distance from the reality of the word or the intent of the word does not negate the consequence of the word.
And maybe just by you, maybe just saying N-word itself strengthens the word, because it's the word we dare not say. Let me go to Jeffrey, who's calling. Jeffrey, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Hey, you know, I was sitting over listening to you, and I got to tell you, yeah, this look, this N-word and the F-word, I wouldn't put them necessarily in the same bag. It's sort of like, although they both can be, you know, depending on how you perceive it, destructive, sort of like a nuclear bomb and sarin gas, but you don't treat them the same way. Now, this idea that this N-word, you know, should be banished forever, you know, I would surmise, you know, and think about this for a minute, that, you know, black folks, since we've come over here, we have been instructed on how to live, how to like, everything by people other than ourselves. And now I see with this N-word, now we have somebody else trying to tell us that we should exist as slaves to a word. Normally words, you know, it's an interactive process. You know, you determine the meaning of the word determines a meaning, and it goes back and forth. But, you know, here we've got these guys up here on the show complaining that, oh, we should absolutely not use it. And irregardless of what we, the people who are, you know, at the core of this whole discussion, have decided that we wanted to do with this word, you know, we've got these experts, outside experts, that are telling us that we can't be right. It's sort of like the Tarzan syndrome. You know, don't worry, you've been here for 8,000 years, but, you know, we'll come over here from Europe and we'll show you how to do it the right way.
Well, thank you for your call, Jeffrey.
Some of us find that kind of offensive, because every time we turn out, there's some outside expert, you know, who thinks they know absolutely positive. Even if you got six friends who are African-American, that still qualifies you as being better, knowing better about this subject than anyone else. So
I get your point.
You really need to take the stakeholders' opinion in this matter, because, you know, we're not, like, completely helpless, you know, largely helpless.
In fact, in my view, I think, you know, we have the Jesse Jackson, NAACP. There are a lot of African-American leaders that say it's time to bury the word. Yeah. We're going to get back to our discussion in just a minute. We've got Yasir on the line. Yasir, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
And thank you for your patience.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Talk to us.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey. Great show and difficult topic to bring up. By the way, I'm a WPFW member and I'll support you as well.
Thank you very much, Yasir.
Yeah, so...
So when you're through with this call, just go pledge, please.
So, you know, once in a while, yeah, I use the F word with friends and it's really done in that way of jest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it may have a slight sting, but it also takes the sting out at the same time when it's an N-word. I've also been called the N-word, even though I'm not African-American. Go figure.
You're versatile.
But the point to make is I think one of you said words do have a certain amount of power. That's something to be cognizant of. But I think there's two issues. One is, you know, the N-word and the F-word were used by, you know, majority groups to oppress other groups.
Right.
And when they've decided it's now not okay to use it, they're telling the same groups not to use that word. Those groups, in the meantime, have internalized those words as a defense and are using them in a different context. So I think for me to stop using the F-word, African-Americans to stop using the N-word, it has to happen within those communities. And I think it would happen if the larger communities dropped the N-word, the F-word, and all the racism and homophobia that went with it. I bet you within our communities we would stop using it.
I bet you're right. I wonder, too, I mean, with other races, is... You know, have other races done with the N-word what Garland has explained and our earlier caller has explained with the N-word? I mean, I don't remember.
It's not just, I mean, everyone, there's an epithet for virtually every people, every religion, every sexual orientation on earth.
My question is, I mean, forgive me for saying it, but did the WAPs call each other WAPs? You know, did the NIPs call each other NIPs? I mean,
we don't have to use all these words right now, Terry.
I think that's common.
Let me throw one out there.
I've never heard of that in another
group. Maybe not.
Let me throw one out there. I heard one of my students, a female student, the other day say, "I'm a real bee," jokingly.
Yeah,
I'm a real bee. Now, if
different.
I said you're, or one of you guys said you're a real bee, well, boy, I wouldn't be teaching at the college anymore. I put it to you like that. So, to some extent, that demonstrates that there is a reality that people within individual groups do at times use words to refer to themselves that others.
But I think Terry has a point, it's nothing unusual.
Terry's
point, I think, is that the more oppressed the group, the more likely these words that there are. Epithets, and the more likely that they sting because the groups are put out, oppressed, and ostracized.
And
the only point I agree with you guys on, and I agree with Garland on this. You know, when the words are used in humor, that is the most disempowering way to use any word.
Sure,
or
when
idea
it's used by a person within the group with humor, that does take the sting out of the word.
I mean, you know, it disempowers it.
But I know someone who complains that we even say N-word and F-word. He thinks we should actually say the words. A word for the FCC: say the words on the air because it reduces the sting. I want to see what our callers think, though. Mo, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mo, you there?
You there, Mo?
Hello, Mo.
Uh-oh, did we lose Mo?
He's calling the pledge line. He's making
Well, the most, only because he's calling the pledge line.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there's Mo.
I think that the word always will mean what it always began meaning, and that you're an oppressed person, that you're not your own person, that you're still master's property, no matter how grand, no matter how great you think you've gotten. In that context, it means that you, here's a reminder of who you are.
It's still ugly and hateful.
Put down and, yeah.
So, Mo, do you think this word should have a proper burial the way the NAACP has, and no one should say it anymore?
I don't think you can. I think it's ingrained. I don't think it ever stopped being used. And when I hear a white person use the word, I automatically assume that they hang around with a bunch of black people.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know any other black folks who feel like that, but it's interesting. That's an interesting perspective.
Well, no, I do know that, for example, the case of the white teenager I gave you, there are white teens that hang out with a lot of black teens, and they start, the black teens use the word.
Trying to be
the
cool.
The white teens use the word.
Cool
and
word.
Suddenly all the black kids are like, what are you doing? And he's like, what? You just said it.
I watch rap videos too, you know?
Yeah, if you walk the hallways of the school these days, middle school or high school, I mean, you will hear all different races using these words.
I just think that within the African American community, there is a very different dynamic than anywhere else because of where the word came from. You have people who knew no other word to refer to themselves as that for 150 years.
Yasir brought
how
up
long
the
do you
the
think
word.
It's going to take?
The F word is certainly not something that definitely came from the oppressor. There's plenty. I mean, words that gay people can use. This is one that specifically. It's a very strange word. It comes from bundling up people and putting them on the fire, burning them at the stake, so to speak. It's a very obscure word, and yet
but it goes back to old.
That people are using like they used it against Congressman Barney Frank. It's a way to put someone down for being gay rather than dealing with. So,
and
so
even not, they're totally different. They're so different. To use whether it's the B word for women, the F word, whether it's the N word, any of those words, realistically, they're so unique to that particular group that they're all of them are really, in a way, we make the discussion the same, but they're very different dynamics
and
what they mean to people.
If I can. James, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, James.
A word is created to mean what it means, no matter who says it, when they say it, or how they say it. It was created to humiliate. So when you say if I jokingly stated it was it's still demeaning. If I say MF, then I am talking about a person that should be the most fabulous person in our lives, and we're making it a humiliation.
Yes.
So in your view, James, these words should never be used by anybody.
You know, Mama, if you said MF to me, I said, I don't know your mother.
So, James, you don't think these words should be used by anybody at any time?
If you want me to be your buddy, say buddy, friend.
All right.
This is respect. Learn a new intelligence.
Well, and certainly,
fair enough. Thank you
he gets back
you,
to
James.
The argument that, again, one of the callers made the point that he felt that's a discussion of whether it's not used that should be within the particular culture that's using the word. But there is certainly an argument to be made that African Americans using that word are to some extent acknowledging some form of an inferiority complex. Because
do you ever use the word gone?
Yes.
You do?
No, you're just lying, and I don't use it. Yes, I do. I use it sometimes.
When do you use it?
It could be around friends or somebody like that,
you
or family.
You do it
that's
in
joking.
A joking way.
Yeah,
it's a twist.
Yeah, well, I do everything in a joking
way.
But
you do it with irony.
Yeah, it's in a joking way. It's in a Richard Pryor joking kind of way.
Okay.
Right? But so what I'm saying is this.
Do you ever use it when white people are around?
No.
Never?
Are you kidding?
Well,
it would be tactless.
No. Would you say it to another black person when there's like you're at a table with like a black person and a white person?
Absolutely not. It would be tactless. No, I wouldn't do that.
Very
never, never. But so what I'm saying.
You're
going to
stop calling us honkies?
Yeah. No, are you kidding?
Just checking.
Well, Terry, you clearly are. I mean,
I refer to Mark as the funky honky.
Look how red you are right now.
I am proud to be one of the first honkies
at
WPFW.
Can I call you Cracker? Is that okay?
No.
Can't call you Cracker.
But as I was saying, there's the argument can be made that it is an acknowledgement of somewhat of an inferiority complex because of where it came from and the knowledge. But, you know, you could go to further. Words, yes, they mean something, but an individual word to an individual may mean something. In a culture, a word can mean something totally different
The point that you're missing, Garland, and it's an important point, and sort of what the previous caller, James, was saying, yes, these words are always going to be used. Yes, these words can be used in a humorous way. Yes, they can be used, you know, between certain groups and
hooray.
All that. And
hey,
that's
we got
okay.
pledges.
And that's okay. But once these words become more and more common, they, in fact, continue a demeaning, denigrating process. They affirm a demeaning, denigrating process. To use the B word about a woman, you know, is always demeaning and denigrating, even if it's done in a lifetime.
So what about when a woman has on a T-shirt that says Queen Bee?
The point is not to eliminate the words, but the point is, as James point out, that those of us who have intelligence and responsibility, and certainly in media,
that leaves us all out,
have a responsibility to frankly use better language.
Can I say that we have two more pledges?
Oh, you can say that. You can say that.
I mean, we don't have them, but you can say it.
Do they identify if they're an N or an F or a B?
I'm not sure. It's not clear whether I give this person's name or not. I can definitely give the name of Kenneth.
Hey,
Kenneth. Thank you very much, Kenneth. This other person, Gladys will have to tell me. I'm not quite clear whether I can say her name or not, but I want to thank both of them for pledging, and it's 202-588-9739.
Is either one a new member?
Oh, boy. Can I ring the bell?
They are renewals, and we're very glad.
We can ring the bell. It's a renewal.
Come
on. No,
I thought we
don't
get the bell for new members.
No, new members is the bell. Applause is for
applause
renewals.
Applause for
okay, there we go.
Let me go on. We got other callers on the line. Jim, welcome to the show.
We got to give out the pledge number, too. Some people
forgot. I did.
Forgot.
The pledge number is 202-588-9739.
Thank you.
Now
call
back,
it now.
Back to Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, two quick comments. One about the N-word, the second one about colors. I think we've always got to move to the higher plane. That may be relative, but I think we've got to go there. Recently, a very young man got into my face and said, I'm going to talk to you tonight like an N person.
Wow.
That might have been a friendly gesture, but I can tell you, I was
terrified.
That
didn't sound very friendly.
Yeah, it didn't sound friendly in a context.
Yes. Yeah, secondly, 2 years ago on the CNN, the moderator was complimenting the president of the NAACP when he said, I really appreciate the work that you do for colored people. The president became very upset, and the man had to come back on and apologize and say, I really didn't intend to offend anyone.
Well, and colored is kind of different because it's
so
in the name.
I wonder if the NAACP should not be consistent. Change the word colored if it offends you when used by someone else. Those are my two comments.
Well, those are two very good comments.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. I'll tell
I
don't think, I guess I have to agree with the caller. I mean, it's true that the word colored is completely anachronistic now. It is definitely on the lines of offensive now. It wasn't 100 years ago when the NAACP was formed.
Like Harry Reid.
Yeah, right. National Association of
still,
Colored.
It's
yeah.
still in their name.
Right.
So I don't think they could take offense by someone who doesn't mean offense.
I would certainly. You made a good point. It's in their name.
It's in their
for
name.
For God's sake,
exactly.
The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People,
right.
And you say, "Well, I'm glad that things are going good for colored people." How dare you call us colored people?
Yeah. No, I think they either got to change their name or not take offense.
Yeah, one of the three. Yeah. There's a problem going.
Let's go on. We got Dave on the line. Dave, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
All right, thanks. I'm like one of the people you mentioned. I am against the euphemisms. I think that they give the words power. And as a gay man. You know, the N-word, I can't speak to that, but the F-word, I think it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea to use the euphemism.
Yeah, the same way darn helps keep damn a little stronger, I think, the F-word gives the word power.
So by calling it the N-word or calling it the F-word, in the case of the anti-gay epithet, by saying F-word, you actually tell the anti-gay people, hey, we can use this word and we can make gay people angry? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think like the NAACP calling a press conference to abolish the N-word is kind of like Superman calling a press conference and telling everybody what kryptonite is. Like, among everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
It tells your enemies where they can hurt you.
How most to hurt you and how to do it. And no, I think it's not a good idea. I mean, language is constantly evolving and changing, and I think to interfere with that process artificially in a way that is against your own best interest is,
well,
not a good idea.
Terry, how about that? How about the idea that if you have a press conference to bury the N-word, you actually strengthen the N-word, that if you say F-word rather than the actual word, you strengthen the epithet by treating it as something that's unsayable?
Dealing with, and I almost sort of hate to say this, but we're dealing with partially a level of civil behavior, partially a level of intelligence, partially definitely a level of empathy and compassion and sensitivity.
But not everyone has empathy.
Oh,
and compassion,
I know.
I don't particularly.
That's the point I'm making. And you know what I don't want to see, and I don't think many of our listeners want to see, is that the words become so common in the language that everybody at any level is using them. I think it it's always going, the words are always going to be used. You know, some rotten people are always going to use them in rotten ways. I mean, that's a given. So who cares?
But there are negative words that, frankly, aren't used anymore. I don't even remember. I'm sure there is one. Some, you know, negative connotation. The Irish. The Irish were discriminated against in the 1840s.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is one.
Mix. Mix.
Well, whatever it is, we don't hear those anymore.
I'm old enough to have used all those.
Maybe you are. Yeah. Some of us were born in the 20th century.
But you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The best example, you know, is every time you get into a war, you pick a word for your enemy.
Right.
So you can shoot them and hate them openly.
Yep.
And you can call them, you know, you can call them towelheads.
Dehumanize.
Dehumanize. You can call them towelheads. You can call them krauts. You can do all of that. Anytime language is used to dehumanize, it is destructive. And those of us who are intelligent, compassionate, you know, and do think about these things, you know, have to frankly raise the bar. Some of our callers said.
Dave's argument is that it's like telling the enemy to Superman where the kryptonite is. That if you say N-word, you're actually advising and letting white people know this is a really awful word.
Let me respond.
You say F-word, for example, which is probably newer, this term F-word.
Let me add one more short thing.
People,
let me add one more short thing. I was brought up under the thing more and more. Sticking stones will break my bones. Words can't hurt me. That's the way my parents brought me up. So you call me any damn thing you want. It really didn't make a whole lot of difference because I was raised that way and I kind of believe that, but that's nothing to do with my using the word. That's a whole different intellectual
process.
Well, I'm
not advising people to use the word. I'm just trying to say whether, for example, in this discussion tonight,
you can be called these words and ignore them.
If it were not for the FCC, if I hadn't looked it up, if I were I'd have a lot more words. I actually would have said the word on the air.
I'd use a lot of words.
But I wouldn't have said
the word,
because in discussions amongst ourselves, when we're discussing the words,
right,
then I don't think we should be afraid of saying them in that context.
Well, you know, I think a couple things. Number one, I think the NAACP ceremony was like pretty irrelevant in the African-American community. It was like, oh, yeah, the NAACP, did you see it on the news? No. What'd they do?
They're not the only ones. Bill Cosby says the word should be used. They're not the only ones.
I'm just saying, it wasn't really relevant. I think where we are in society with that word, the idea that you can do a ceremony or do something that's going to affect the language is pretty ridiculous, to be quite honest with you. I think everybody knows where it is. I think the word is where it should be from one perspective in that it is disliked and offensive. But... what's more important?
A dramatic pause there. We were distracted by beauty.
We have a couple more calls, but we really can't get back to the topic until we get some more pledge drives in.
That's right.
We're short. How many pledge drives do we have?
We got four here, which isn't enough.
We need six more.
And we have some callers that we want to get to, so let's get some pledges in here.
So on your second line, call in and pledge. And by the way, even when we're off the air, you can still, of course, call in and pledge to the Raucous Caucus. Just say Raucous Caucus. 202-588-9739.
Garland, why didn't you join us?
I don't know, but when you're not...
Garland, what's the pledge number, Garland?
202-588-9739.
Good, Garland.
Way to go, Garland.
Sure, what's important is, and here's the important thing. You're not just... Okay, you're pledging, but you're not just pledging. You're pledging to help WPFW. You're pledging to support our show, but you're going to get something really nice. We're going to give you three of our best shows. We're going to send three of our best shows to you that you can listen to, that you can upload to your MP3 player, all these cool things. So you're going to have three...
And a lot of them, you know, frankly, and not only are they educational, but they are funny. They are entertaining. You can use them, frankly, to introduce... I know people that sit around and listen to our show and have a lot of fun with it.
Well, for example, if you want to know what the Arizona immigration law is all about, you want to know what a credit default swap is all about, and you want to know what the Tea Party is all about, it's educational, but it's like, I don't know, it's like a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Yeah.
You can
and
laugh.
You might have friends.
We did have a lot of fun last week.
We did. We really did. Yeah.
We really did.
I listened to it again last night. It's very funny.
And you can understand, only when you listen to last week's show can you understand what financial reform has to do with terrorists and babies.
No, don't go there.
No, please.
Because now, next time you hear about Goldman Sachs, you'll just say, drop the baby!
Right.
Drop the baby! And people who've listened to the Raucous Caucus will know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're shamed. We're shamed.
Don't you have friends?
202-588-9739. 202-588-9739.
And don't you have friends that you say to, that you say, look, I listen to these three guys on Tuesday nights, and these guys are nuts. I mean, they're absolutely bonkers. They're bananas. They're very sick men. And I think you should listen to this and hear the show. And the person might say, well, blah, 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 blah. Here, check out this
CD. So for $35, you are a member of WPFW.
A voting member.
We welcome your support. For $50, you get a WPFW t-shirt or cap, and then you can realize who your friends are and go around and say, hey, I'm a proud supporter of WPFW. But for $65,
oh, bar,
you get The most raucous, the best of the raucous
the
caucus.
The raucous caucus.
The raucousness.
Raucousness,
the
raucous caucus.
The raucousness,
yeah.
Raucous.
Raucous. I don't know.
Raucous caucus. All right, let's keep pledging. 202-588-9739. Right. Again, you can keep pledging even after our show's over. So if you want to hear the end and then pledge afterwards.
And you want to get those three CDs.
We're happy to do that.
If you become a member, if you live in D.C., you'll be able to do something that you can't normally do in our society, which is vote.
That's
and
true.
Actually, you know, makes a difference.
And you have your vote be counted.
Yes, right. Yeah. Right here at the station.
Yeah. Kenneth has been holding a long time, though. I want to get to him. Kenneth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. First of all, I want to relate a story. That's something to do with the subject that you're talking about.
Okay.
I'm a school teacher. I teach in the D.C. area in the public schools.
What grade?
Right now I'm teaching middle school, but this particular story took place when I was teaching high school.
Okay.
And a matter of fact, we were listening to your radio station. There was a section where they were playing Zydeco music. I'm originally from Louisiana.
Okay. Ah, cowboy.
And then they were, my class is mainly Latino and an African American.
Okay.
And there was the one white student in the classroom. And I heard them saying the word, one of your callers said earlier, you see other ethnic groups saying the N-word.
Uh-huh.
And the Latinos and the African-American kids were saying it back and forth to each other, not in an offensive way. They were laughing, playing around with each other and joking around and stuff like that. But I asked them, I said, well, what about, and I pointed to the young white man that was in my classroom, and I said, what if he was to say it? And they all turned around and looked at him, and in unison just said we would kill him.
Poor kid, I swear.
Oh, boy, let me ask you, Kenneth,
why is it okay for a Latino to say it?
Critical about this, that you could say it with each other, but the moment he says, and I said, you know he's not your enemy. You know, you've been friends since y'all were probably in elementary school.
Right.
If he just says the word, why would you look like your whole attitude towards him would change? And I kept asking him why, and he really couldn't tell me why. So to me, it goes back in history. I think for a long time, have you ever heard the game called the Dozens?
Mm-hmm. I haven't,
but go ahead.
Okay, when African Americans were going out on civil rights marches, and people have to understand the civil rights movement just didn't start in the 50s.
No.
It started for a long time ago.
Frederick Douglass.
The marches were taking place long before Martin Luther King was involved with it. And before you went on that march and the ideal of nonviolence, they would, a lot of times they would get engaged in playing the dozens where you would call each other names. And the idea was to keep you from getting angry.
Interesting.
When you had to face a mob of whites who were out there mainly with guns or knives and doing everything.
So this was the prophylactic,
desensitizing.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So what they would do was they would play the dozens, and they would call each other these rude names and things like that, and then they would let you know if you're ready or not. If you didn't get angry, then you were ready to go.
And that's why those kids at Woolworth
started using those same techniques later on in the 50s and the 60s, where
they
would deliberately insult each other so that he knew he would tell them, if you just think you can't get mad, you can't go. I remember...
As a teacher, what is your attitude on the kids using the words or not using the words? Does it matter or does it not?
Do you countermand them? Do you say not to do that to the kids?
Yeah, I tell them straight out. I say, don't do it. I say, because the reason why it was made earlier, the point that was made earlier, if we have very few white students in our schools now, and if they were to come, I said the decision on school integration was made in the 50s. And they say, when I look at these schools in this area, these schools are still behind when it comes to school integration.
All right.
I'll tell you, that was a very interesting call.
And thank you for being a teacher. I mean that.
You're a brave and wonderful man. Okay. I'll tell you this. I thought it interesting that Latinos can say it and blacks didn't get mad, Latinos can say it. I don't know. Yeah. It's very complex. We could talk about this on
but,
and on,
I mean,
but
it does
our
show
hour
you,
is
it,
up.
It, oh, my goodness.
Our hour
gotta
is
go.
Up.
Listen, I got to
thank everybody. First of all, I got to thank, of course, our charming and super hardworking and beautiful. And you should see her dance, by the way. She was pirouetting just before the show. Gladys Brooks, thank you very much for being here. And then we've got...
Sidrek on the board there. Thank you, Sidrek, the engineer. Thank you, Sidrek.
For working so hard for us. And we will be back next week at Ben's Next Door, which is 1213 U Street.
Mm-hmm. At 7
p.m. Talking about some controversial topic and doing so with humor, grace, and style. Well, maybe not Terry, but the rest of us.
And no bad words.
No bad words. Listen, if you want to contact any of us, I know you can Facebook Garland Nixon.
Or garlandin@gmail.com.
I know you can Facebook me, Mark Levine.
And you can Facebook me, but I won't respond.
Well, Terry Kessler doesn't respond to Facebook. We're getting up in an RCNDC site. It's still kind of in the works.
Yes, we will have one site for all of us.
That's it, folks. It's a wrap.